Well, we've been on this for a while. I'm not going to backtrack, but we've been ministering on the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and that God wants it to be evident in our life. How many of y'all know that God wants to, that God has already put the power inside of you to change the world? God's put a power inside of you, and His name is the Holy Spirit. And He is able and well able to change any circumstance that you walk into. He's well able to bring about miracles in your life. Miracles of healing, miracles of provision, miracles in relationship. He's got the power to break every addiction that you have. He's got the power to offset or to deter any attack that the enemy would like to bring against you. With God, nothing is impossible. Amen? Man, we teach that in kids' church all the time. We sing songs about it. But it's not just a song. It's not just a catchy thing to say. It's reality. It's reality. Nothing we face is impossible for God through the power of His Holy Spirit. And so we're talking about that and how we need the gifts of the Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives and in our church on a regular daily basis. Amen. Do you believe that? And so, I guess I need to get my notes open. And so we've been talking about that. And so tonight we're gonna pick up. We've been kind of moving slower than I thought we would move when we started this. But we're going to pick up right there where we left off and talking about the need of the power of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit in us, in our church. And so I want to start off tonight in 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now, we've talked a lot about building up to this. We've talked about Pentecost. We've talked about the Holy Spirit. We've talked about the things that keep people and keep churches from operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so tonight we're going to continue that, talking about the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. And Joe, if you're putting it on the screen, most of this stuff is New King James. So 1 Corinthians 12:1, it says, concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be ignorant. God doesn't want us to be ignorant concerning the gifts of the Spirit, concerning spiritual gifts. Now that word ignorant in the Hebrew, now ignorant isn't the same as stupid. We kind of have we kind of associate that with the same word, but ignorant is not stupid. It's just, in the Greek word is agnaio. That's how you say it. I don't care what anybody else says. That's how you say it. Agnaio. But it means, to not know or to not understand. It's the unknown or, to err or to be wrong. And then some other forms of it talk about a willing ignorance. Now, that seemed kind of odd to me, a willful ignorance. And I thought, well, who would be willfully ignorant? And then all of a sudden I remembered our washing machine and dryer. how many of you men have learned that being willfully ignorant sometimes can get you off the hook, right? And I was really hoping Nicole would be out of the room when I got to this part. But, baby, could you go check, make sure the car's locked? No? Okay. all these years, I have dodged doing laundry because I've been willfully ignorant. Man, all those buttons on that machine. What if I messed something up? You know, what if I shrunk something or turned something the wrong color? You know, I just don't understand the washing machine and the dryer. Don't look at me like that, all you ladies. Y'all willfully are ignorant about the lawnmower sometimes. You know that. Don't try to act holier than thou. Yeah, I know. You all do the same thing. We all do. There are some things that we're all willfully ignorant about. I could learn how to use it, but I choose not to. But every time I ask questions, she gets frustrated every time I ask questions about it because I ask too many questions. But anyway. But it's not, we're not talking about that. God says, hey, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to not know about and to not understand spiritual gifts. God doesn't want us to be in a place where we can't recognize and know and understand, because He wants us to understand what He's given us. He wants us to know about what He's given us. He doesn't want it to be unknown to us. The greatest unused power in the world is found right in here in the church. the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. And I was going to read a story. There's a story that Marvin Gorman tells about a woman who one day was walking home from work, and she noticed there was some trash piled up on the sidewalk. And right there in the middle of a bunch of other garbage and trash next to a dumpster, she noticed there was a painting. And so she went and just kind of looked at the painting. It didn't seem like anything was wrong with it, but someone had thrown it out. And so she really didn't have room for it, she didn't think, in her apartment. But there was just something about it, and she liked it, and it was perfectly good condition. So she took it home and hung it on the wall. And he said years later, she was taking the picture down, rearranging some things in her house, and she noticed she hadn't noticed before. There were some stickers on the back of the painting, and when she started looking at the stickers closely, they were stickers from an art museum. There was a sticker from an art museum in Paris, and there was a sticker from an art museum in Washington, I think is what the story was. And anyway, so she got curious, and she called. She started calling, and she checking on this painting. Anyway, she got in touch with somebody and met them, and they looked at the piece of art. Come to find out, it was a stolen piece of art that had been purchased from one of those museums, and the owner had purchased the piece of art for his bride. And then they had been robbed. Somebody stole it from their house. But she found out that the painting was worth about $1 million. And so anyway, but the owner had been looking for it, and there was a reward. And so she gave it back to the owner and ended up getting $15,000 as a reward for finding the painting. But it was a valuable painting that was stuck there with the junk. And as she walked by, she almost passed it up. She almost passed by this valuable piece of art because she wasn't an art major. She wasn't accomplished in art. She didn't recognize it as something of value. And that's kind of the way it is with spiritual gifts a lot of times. We as Christians, we miss out on a lot of things simply because we aren't aware or we aren't knowledgeable of the fact that God has given us that gift. Are you there? How many times do we miss out on things, miss out on healings, or struggle with things that we shouldn't have to struggle with because we don't understand the full potential of what's inside of us, the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit? Because the Bible talks about us having authority over all things. The Bible talks about how we can be more than conquerors. The Bible talks about how no weapon formed against us will prosper. But how many times do we struggle, and how many times do we strive with the enemy, and how many times are we defeated when we should be walking on top? How many times are we the tail when we should be the head? Amen? But the thing is, God never intended for us to live that way. Everything God's Word says about us, everything God's Word says about the authority and the power that we're to walk in is the truth. And anything else that we're experiencing is not God's will. So we've got to learn how to recognize, how to understand, and how to be aware of the power of God that's inside of us. Amen? He doesn't want us to remain strangers to the supernatural. This treasure that God's put inside of us, it was never meant to be a hidden treasure. It's a treasure that God wants us to find and experience and walk in. He wants to give us an awareness of the value of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Spirit that's inside of us. 2 Corinthians 4:7. Let's turn there if you would. 2 Corinthians 4:7. It says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." There's a treasure. There's a treasure inside of us that God has put there. And when we accept Him and we receive the Holy Spirit in our life, God gives us a treasure and a power inside of us that, what does it say? It's of God and not of us. We're earthen vessels. We're things, and earthen vessels, it talks about things that are weak, of little value, frail, subject to be broken or damaged. But in our weakness, the Bible says, in our weakness, God is made strong. In these earthen vessels, weak as we are, frail as we are, imperfect as we are, God has chosen to put something inside of us that far exceeds anything we could ever be, that far exceeds anything we could ever do. The very power of God has been placed in us. Something of great value has been placed inside of us. Earthen vessels, weak and not valuable, but God has placed value inside of us. And He's designed it so that the weaker the vessel, the stronger the power of God appears. Amen? Isn't that good? Isn't that awesome how God has designed that? The weaker the vessel, the stronger the God appears. That's why it's written in the Bible, in my weakness, God is made strong. If we can get a hold of that and realize that there's nothing in us that can change anything, that can overcome anything, and it's only on the power of God that we can depend, then we can begin to look to Him and depend on Him for everything in our life. Amen? Everything. There's nothing that I should depend on in myself and through my own power. But if I will learn how to depend on Him and depend on the Holy Spirit for everything in my life, oh, how great, how much greater will my life be? You see, you think about that. There's a lot of things that I just do, and I know I'm not the only one. I know we all do. But there's a lot of things we just do, and not even thinking about it. But God cares about every intimate detail of our life. I mean, something as simple as going to the grocery store can be something supernatural. You know, God wants to speak in our life. God wants to direct our paths. The people that we come in contact as we stop and get gas, it may be divine intervention that God has set aside. We need to learn to depend on, trust in, and seek God every step we make. Every morning we get up, we need to ask God and pray. Say, God, what encounters do you have for me today? God, what would you have me do today? God, is there someone today that I can share your gospel with? Is there someone today that you want me to speak encouragement to? God, what do you have for me today? The Lord cares about everything you do. Now, does that mean you have to pray about whether or not you're supposed to go get milk if you're out of milk? I'm not saying that. I'm not saying, you know, but I'm just saying God can orchestrate your steps to where the least little thing that you think about doing, God can make that a divine encounter. Amen? God can use you in any way, in every way. We just need to learn how to be open to Him and depend on Him for everything in our life. He's designed it that way. That the less we think about ourselves and the more we look to Him, the greater He can be in our life. Chapter 3, verse 30, He must increase, but I must decrease. I must decrease. In order for us to fully realize the value of what's inside of us, we must do just what John did. We've got to decrease so that He can increase. So this treasure that we read about, this treasure inside of us, I've already said this, but it was never meant to be a hidden treasure. We're meant to live our lives with full awareness. Everybody say, full awareness of the treasure and the power of God that lives on the inside of us, the Holy Spirit. So that when we do come across somebody in the grocery store that we start to talk to and they say, oh, well, you know, life's just been tough lately. You know, we don't just say, oh, sorry to hear that. That we can offer them something that can change their life. We can offer them something that will bring encouragement to them and that will strengthen them. We can offer them the power and the message of Jesus Christ. Amen? The only way we can do that is if we're aware of that power. We need to know and be aware of the power that God's put inside of us. And if you've been coming to this church at all in the last year, you ought to be aware of it. That's the road we're on. To be people that are used by God, and that we demonstrate and that His power is manifested through our lives. Amen. We're all on that journey to the other side, right? To take it to another level. We're meant to live our lives with full awareness. But here's the thing. Today the gifts are available. They're just as available as they always are. When you read in the New Testament, when the church was being established, when you read about the powerful things that were happening, the miracles, the laying on of hands, the miracles, all the casting out demons, raising the dead, all those things, none of those things have ever gone away. But somehow we find ourselves in a situation in mainstream Christianity today, those miracles and those demonstrations of the power of the Spirit aren't as evident. And in some churches, they're completely absent. But we're determined we're not going to be one of those churches. Amen? We're not going to be those people that don't live and know, those people that know about the power of God, but they have no evidence of it. But we're not going to be those people. Amen? I believe God's called us to be people that are aware of the power He's put inside of us, but we're not scared to walk in it. We're not ashamed to walk in it. We're not ashamed to declare the power of God, because we believe by faith that those things are still active and still available today. Just like the woman in the painting, she almost missed out on finding that valuable painting. God doesn't want us to miss out. God doesn't want us to walk by the valuable gifts and miss out on the valuable gifts that He has for us because we're unaware or because we're ignorant. Amen? But He not only wants us to be aware, but He wants us to share that treasure. 1 Corinthians 12:7. If you turn there with me, 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." Now, I want you to notice that. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to what? Given to who? The pastoralships and leaders, is that right? No? Oh, okay. It's just given to evangelists and prophets? Come on, y'all supposed to be like kids' church. They yell at me when I'm wrong. Oh, you know? So he's giving it just to those well-known spiritual leaders and stuff and people that are on TV, right? No, He's giving it to each one. No? And so I can look around the room right now and I don't want to single you out, but God has given that to Miss Sue. He's giving that to Miss Vashti. He's giving that to Maurice. He's giving that to Cece. Rashawn. No, I shouldn't have started this. Now I'm calling everybody. But if you're sitting in here today, yes, Jerry, He's giving it to you too. Jerry was like, "Don't leave me out. I'll call my name." No. He's giving it to each one. If you're sitting in here tonight and you're breathing, everybody go like this. Okay, you're alive. You're alive. Then He's given you spiritual gifts that are to be manifested through you. He's given to each one, but it's for the profit of all. He's given you gifts for not for your profit, but to profit all, to profit the body. Those gifts, the things that we're supposed to be aware of and we have working in our life, He's given it to us. He don't want us just to be aware, but He wants us to share, because those gifts are for the edification of the body. Those gifts are meant to build up others and to show others the power that lives inside of you, so that they will say, "How is it? Why is it?" And you can give them an answer. The Bible says, "Be instant in season and out of season, ready to give an answer." The goodness that people see happening in your life, and the goodness that you're able to share with other people, will lead them to Jesus Christ. It's all for the glory of God. Amen? It's all to glorify Him. And if we're glorifying Him, using those gifts and those things He's put inside of us, it's going to lead people to Christ. And once they find Him, that's the best thing they could ever find. Amen? It's all about sharing and profiting others. It's all about building up the body, lifting up your brother and sister, declaring the works of God, showing the lost that there's someone that they can hope in that will bring salvation and change and deliverance and healing into their life. Not only to, we should be aware and we should share. According to 1 Corinthians 12:7, the Holy Spirit has chosen to manifest Himself. And this is miraculous. That the Holy Spirit has chosen to manifest Himself and all the power that He has and all that He's able to do and all that He could do without us if He wanted to. But He's chosen to manifest Himself through earthen vessels, through imperfect people who contain a priceless treasure on the inside of them, to change them and to change those around them as we boldly share the gifts with others. Amen? How many of you are glad that God has chosen to manifest Himself through you? We're not worthy. We can never earn that kind of position. But God has chosen us. And if you're sitting here tonight, know that God has chosen you. I don't care how old you are, if you're well up in years and you think, well, you know, I'm just happy to go sit on the pew that I can get up in the morning. No, God has chosen you. If you're a youth here tonight, back in the youth section up there, the back rows, we need to get them guys up front. The back rows, God has chosen you. The kids in the room, God has chosen you to be His light, to be His hands, to be His mouthpiece, to be His feet, to show Jesus to this world and to others and to your brothers and sisters. How, you know, sometimes we need Jesus shown to even the brothers and sisters, right? Man, I need Jesus all the time. I need to be lifted up all the time. Sometimes I need to be set straight. Sometimes I need to be prayed for. Man, we are here to be God's hand to each other and to this lost and dying world. Amen? No matter your age, no matter your walk of life, God chose you. So how do we get this, the value of this great treasure working in our lives? How do we get it working in our lives? How do we get the power that's inside of us manifested, shown out to the world? How do we share the gift for the profit of all? Wouldn't it be nice if we all had somebody very successful who'd done all the things that we want to do, all those things that are in your heart to do that you feel called to? Wouldn't it be nice to have somebody that's just the most successful person ever to just be with you every day, to advise you and to kind of tell you what to do, show you the ropes? Somebody that's been there and done it to show you all the shortcuts, to expose all the pitfalls that are out there, to point them out to you so you can avoid falling in the pitfalls. Wouldn't it be awesome to have somebody like that with you every day that would just coach you through life? Wouldn't that be awesome? Well, the good news is we do. It's called a mentor. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit is our teacher and our guide. And the Holy Spirit is the one that comes alongside of us. And the Holy Spirit, I don't think the Bible doesn't use the word mentor, but that's what He is. The Holy Spirit is our mentor. And He is with you always. He is with you every day. He doesn't rest. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't take a break. But He is always, the Bible says He's always effectually working on your behalf. He's always leading us, guiding us, coaching us. To the extent that we let Him. To the extent that we let Him. I'll tell you a story. I don't think I've told you this, but at work not too long ago, I had a meeting. It was about this project we were kicking off. And, man, I was kind of nervous about this meeting. I went into the meeting, and, man, it just did not go well. The meeting didn't go well. And so I went back to my office, and later Nicole called. She's like, oh, how'd your meeting go? And I said, horrible. It went horrible. And then later our friend's like, God, you know, what, why is this happening? Why couldn't you just kind of direct the meeting? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, because I wasn't invited to the meeting. He will guide us, direct us, and lead us to the extent that we let Him. And that day, I had gotten busy. Man, and you know what? I hadn't even prayed over that meeting. I hadn't even asked Him what to do in that meeting, what I should present and show. I didn't even ask Him about it. And you know, when He said that, I'm like, oh, God, you know, no wonder it was so bad. And so I asked Him to forgive me. And the next time I went into a meeting on the subject, I was prayed up. I asked God to show up and do the work, you know, and it went really well. God straightened everything out. It was fine after that. But man, how sobering that was. Tell me, I wasn't invited to the meeting. I'm like, You're always with me, Lord. You're just a standing invite, but I hadn't prayed about it. I hadn't sought Him over that, you know? But He will, to the extent that we let Him and to the extent that we lean on Him and depend on Him, He will direct our paths. He will lead us and He will guide us and He will show us the pitfalls. He'll do all those things I said a while ago. He does all that. He does all that. And not only does He do all that, He gives us the power to follow through with what He gives us. Amen? We desperately need a mentor. And the Holy Spirit wants to fill that role. But everybody needs a mentor. So I'm going to read a few of the famous mentor pairs that we've known over the years. NFL coach Bill Walsh, he mentored quarterback Joe Montana, who won the 4 Super Bowls with the San Francisco 49ers. Amen. We got a 49ers fan back there. Amen. NBA coach Phil Jackson mentored Michael Jordan, 5-time NBA most valuable player, considered by a lot of people, by most of the smart people in the world, the greatest NBA player ever. Some people try to throw some shouts out for LeBron in that area, but no, Jordan's got it. We all know Jordan's got it. He's God's man. Anyway, the Greek mathematician Archimedes, I don't know if I said it right, he mentored the Italian scientist Galileo, who then invented the modern telescope and discovered that the planets revolve around the sun. He was mentored. Economist Ludwig Miles mentored the former president Ronald Reagan, who challenged the Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev to tear down the wall. And you remember just a few months after the Berlin Wall fell. The teacher Ann Sullivan mentored Helen Keller. How many of you have heard of Helen Keller? The blind, deaf, mute girl who graduated from college and became a world-famous author and speaker and an inspiration to millions. Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Bible and delivered Israel from slavery in Egypt. He mentored Joshua, who then led the children of Israel to the Promised Land and conquered Canaan. We're on the biblical ones now. So, you know, we're getting real spiritual section now. Okay, so then Elijah, he mentored Elisha, who's one of the most well-known prophets who received a double portion of what Elijah had. And Jesus mentored his disciples. He understood the importance of mentoring people. Paul mentored Timothy, who became an evangelist, a pastor, and a great leader in Bible history and in the church that we now enjoy. Everybody needs a mentor. Without these mentors, how far do you think those guys would have went? Now, some of them had talents that would have still been successful. But all of those people give great credit to their mentors as being the key to their success. Because of their mentors helped them to go to another level and to achieve greatness. To achieve greatness. They wouldn't have achieved without them. I'm trying to find my place. So we desperately need the Holy Spirit. See, with the help of those mentors, they achieved great things. Most of you recognize most of those names, don't you? Do you not? How many of you recognize most of those names? Because they achieved great things. But they credit that to the mentors they had that helped them get where they are. And the Holy Spirit is there to be our mentor. And I believe that the Holy Spirit, man, the Bible declares that. He's the one that comes alongside us. So the Holy Spirit wants to lead us, mentor us, guide us, and be there with us as we take our first baby step in faith. The Holy Spirit says, I'm there with you to guide you, to lead you, to direct you. And after we take that first baby step with the power of the Holy Spirit and with the leadership of the Holy Spirit, before you know, you'll be taking a normal step. How many of y'all remember Mother May I? Take a baby step. And take a giant step. But the Holy Spirit is there to help us and guide us and mentor us through our first step, through our next step. Next thing you know, He's mentoring us as we take a leap of faith. And I tell you, if you keep going with the Holy Spirit, if you keep allowing Him to mentor you, to guide you, to lead you, then before long, you will be soaring. How the Bible says, soaring on wings as eagles. Amen? Above the storm, you'll be soaring and doing great things. With His help, you can achieve great things for God. Amen? The Holy Spirit. Everybody say, the Holy Spirit is my mentor. And so as He mentors us, you know, I don't know if you're like me. We ask those questions. How? When? You know, how do we get this working? That's it right there. You ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Simply ask Him to help you take that step of faith. And if you don't know, if you're confused or if you don't know exactly what your strong point is, what your gift is, pray and ask the Holy Spirit. What is my gift? What would you have me to do? What is my contribution to the body of Christ? The Word already declares in plenty of places that each member is important. We've already talked about each one of you have a gift that's manifested through you. We need to ask the Holy Spirit what your gift is and then begin stepping out in faith to exercise that gift. 1 Timothy 4:14 says, do not neglect the gift that's put inside of you. I'm going to roll through these real quick. So if y'all want to just jump. But 1 Timothy 4:14 says, don't neglect the gift. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, stir up the gift of God, which is inside of you. Sometimes we got to stir it up, amen? Sometimes it does not happen automatically, you know. Sometimes we got to stir it up. Sometimes we got to stir it up, stir that gift. Start exercising that faith and walking in those things, walking out in those gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, 31 says, earnestly desire the best gifts. We got to earnestly desire the best gifts. Desire to be used. Desire to walk and move in the gifts of the Spirit. That's 1 Corinthians 12, 31. And then 1 Corinthians 14, 12 says, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. There it is again. It's for the profit of all. God wants to do something amazing in you. God wants to do something amazing in this church. And so, real quick, we've been building up to the gifts for a while now. So real quick tonight, I'm going to read the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we're talking about, that we want to see evident in this church. And they are evident, but we want to see God really start to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our midst. Because we know that's what's going to build us up, and that's what's going to make us strong. That's what's going to edify the body and get the body to the point where we can be the beacon of hope and the light in this community that we can be. I'm telling you, as we begin to exercise those gifts, and as we begin to allow the Holy Spirit to have His way, not that we don't want Him to have His way already, but we just believe that there's a hesitancy, and I believe that God wants to bring us into a place where we are aware of the gifts of the Spirit and the power that's inside of us, and that we are have a hunger for the gifts of the Spirit inside of us. We've already talked about that, and that we're not afraid to walk in those gifts that God's put inside of us. And as we begin to walk and move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit freely as He desires, and not held back by fear or lack of understanding, but we can walk out in confidence the work and the move of the Holy Spirit that He has for us, that this church is going to explode. Amen. I believe as we start moving and walking those things, that He is going to draw people in. He is going to draw people in. Because I'll tell you what, if God knows that He can send somebody somewhere without encountering Him, He'll start sending them here. He's already sending people here. I'm not saying He's not, but I just believe that God wants to take this thing and multiply it. God's in the business of multiplying things, in case you haven't noticed. If you read through the Bible, the principles of multiplication are all throughout it. And every work God does is supposed to be a work that produces after itself. The Bible says flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. And where God's Spirit is active and living, God wants to birth things. God wants to reproduce after Himself. And God wants to multiply the works that go on here, the lives that are changed here, and the witness that we have in this city. Amen? And He's going to do that as we begin to allow the Holy Spirit to work and to move in our lives. As we begin to understand and be aware of and hunger after those things that He's put inside of us already. And so talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I'm just going to read them to you real quick. It's in 1 Corinthians 12. Starting with verse 8, it says, for one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Notice throughout this list, it keeps talking about it's all through the same Spirit. I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit is so, he's all-knowing, He's all-powerful, and He's always present. And every work that he does, He does in unity, and He does with one purpose, and that's to glorify God and to build up the body. So, for one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. It says in verse 11, but the one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. We all have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to do some things. Pastor Jerry, he wanted to, we're going to, sometime down the road, we're going to do some giftings, testings, and things like that, just to help us find, because here's the goal. Here's the desire to this. Not to make us aware of the power of the Holy Spirit, to make us aware and to learn about and understand the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But at the heart of it is to get each one of us to the place where we can walk in the gift that we're called. To walk in the gift that God's put inside of us. We don't want anybody just to come to church and sit, but we want you to be the ministers that God's called you to be. Because how many know, if you're born again and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, then God's called you to be a witness. God's called you to minister. And if you're a part of this body, God's called you to be an active, important part of the body. And so you'll never do that until you learn to start using the gifts that God's put inside you. Now those gifts, I'm going to break them down. They can be divided into three different categories of those gifts that we can break them into. The first one, they're divided into revelation, the gifts of revelation, the gifts of power, and the gifts of inspiration. I'm just going to read through those really quick. And then in the coming weeks, we're going to get into each one of these gifts and talking about each one of these gifts and so that we understand the gifts that God's given to the church. And the goal is for you to find your gift. Some people have one. You may have a combination of a couple of different things. But we want you to understand the gift that God's put in you. How many of y'all appreciate our pastors to have that heart? That heart that he wants. He don't want you just to be happy in here. He wants you to be walk in the full plan that God has for you. To walk in the fullness of what God has for each one of your lives. And so here are the three gifts. The gifts of revelation are the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Those are the gifts of revelation. And some of you may already know your gift and know your calling. And God just wants, and we just want to encourage you to exercise that gift, to walk in it. The gifts of power are faith, the gift of faith, working of miracles, and gifts of healing. And then the gifts of inspiration are prophecy, the gift of unknown tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And so those are the gifts of the Spirit that the Bible declares should be active in the church for the building up of the church. And so we're going to start going through those. Hey, we at least got to the list tonight. That's good, right? We made progress. We got to the list. And so we're going to start talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about each one in detail. And just believe that God's going to help us find our gift and find our place in the body where we can come and be an active part of the body used by God. Because every person, I don't care who you are, you need an outlet. You need to put your gift to work. You need not only God flowing into you, but you need to be putting gifts to use and be an outflow to touch others. That's what keeps you alive. Remember Mark was here, he talked about living water is moving water. God didn't design us just to be fools. God didn't design earthen vessels just to fill up and just sit. God designed us to overflow with the goodness of, with his goodness, with his gifts. God designed us to not only take, but to freely give what we freely received. And I believe as we become a church where the members are active and being used and doing the work, that God's going to make this church a vibrant church full of the life of God. Amen? Amen. Well, let's stand to our feet as we close in prayer. Father God, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that you see fit to pour yourself into us, God. God, you are creator of heaven and earth. God, you are all powerful. God, we can't even imagine. We can't imagine. We can't comprehend your goodness, your love, your strength, your ability. God, but you've chosen to fill us up with you. Lord, you've chosen to fill us up with you and let us be tools, God, the vehicle by which you reach this lost and dying world. God, you've chosen us, God, to be conduits of your power. God, conduits of your love. Conduits, God, of your gifts, Lord God, and your miracles. So, Lord, I thank you as you teach us and you help us to understand your gifts and the calling on our life. God, that we're going to be the men and women of God that you called us to be. God, we're not going to be idle, God, but we're going to be used, God, to carry your message to this world. God, to see the demonstration of power, God, in our life and in the lives of others in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I thank you what you're doing. God, help us to have ears to hear, God. To understand, to be aware, God, and not be fearful, God, about showing and demonstrating your power to this world. In Jesus' name.